Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Woohoo! All right, Giants or the Saints? Giants or the Saints. Woo! I could have said a book in the Bible that didn't exist, and I would have got less of a response than that. Giants or the Patriots? Sorry about that. Let's not have too much fun. So Isaiah 55, if you'll turn there, that'd be great. We might go to the New Testament also. I don't want to take up a full 35 or 40 minutes because we're so full already. We'll continue on this, what I feel like, from Lee saying something about Isaiah 55 in an email to just me responding to it. And I was thinking that's kind of how I think this is supposed to be when we spiritually connect, because we can get together and talk about the saints. What's with that? I don't even watch football. Minnesota Vikings purple today, so I'm for the Minnesota Vikings, me and Frank back there. So we could talk about the saints, which we are. We could talk about church, but I think what happened, you know, when Lee sent an email, the response is we're supposed to be hearing what God's doing and taking part of that. And so Stevie heard last week's message and something, a completely different scripture that spoke to him, shared that this morning, and it was so good. And then through the music and what Stevie said and read, then David got up here and spoke from that. And I think that's how we become and stay spiritually connected. We stick on not scripture alone, but what the Lord is saying to us. And so I want to challenge you. If the Lord hasn't given you a word or a focus this year, why not start with Isaiah 55? I'm going to just speak on 1 to 3 and maybe 4 and 5 as this month goes along. But why not take something? Why not own something that this will be mine? That I'll listen to last week's message as I described what C-O-M-E means and the fullness of that, what come means. And then you can go from there and see the fullness of what that is and what the Lord's inviting you into. Before I start, we need to be praying for Linda Kahn. We've been praying a bit as a church, but she last week had something, 2 weeks ago had something bad with her eye, went in, it was good that she went in, and now she's had something bad again with her eye. So she's still out laying in a certain position with her eye covered for a long period of time. So she's really struggling with that because she's a go-getter. So be praying for her in that area, and then I think that's it. So if I say this word, if I say a word corn, everybody has in their head a picture of what corn is, right? Everybody should have a picture of what corn is. Almost none of you will see the letter C-O-R-N. Most of you will see corn in some form or fashion. And if I talked more about corn, you would see corn on the cob. You would see cornmeal, corn bread, corn tortillas. You would see corn in a field. You would remember, if we talk long enough, you might remember the first time you tasted corn straight out of a farmer's market, or you open it up and you might decide, you might be able to talk about, I like sweet white corn, or I like the big chunky yellow corn, or I like Del Monte canned corn, or I like, you would describe corn. And the longer we talked about corn, the more we would see it. And almost none of us, when we say a word, see the word in our head. What we do is we give experience and we give fullness to it. And that's what I want to do here with Isaiah 55, with this word come. And that's what I did last week. So I want to challenge you, if you weren't here, to go listen to that. So this is what most of us would have in our head. And then a whole variety of that. But you know what? There's a whole generation, not a whole generation, there's a whole group of kids who actually have this in their mind. It's a group. It's a group called corn, and it's spelled differently. So when you see it, we can say that. But most of us as Christians, the longer we're in church, the more we give just really tiny, narrow definitions to corn or to come or to fullness or to salvation. We know exactly what it means, exactly what it looks like, exactly our past experience with it. But there's a fullness and a bigness and a power in the words that God uses towards us. And I want us to remember that as we go into this year, is don't be satisfied with the experience you've had with corn. Whether it's corn on the cob, corn in the field, or corn the music group, okay? Don't be satisfied with that. Have a deeper, more vibrant experience with what the Lord is saying. And when the Lord speaks a word to you, whether it's through scripture that you read on your own, whether it's through a testimony, some of you are being disturbed. I'll go ahead and change back to real corn. So think about that. To put, when you say to put something really big to it, when Jesus speaks to you, whether it's through the message today, through the worship, through what David said, to what Stevie said, to what David Gardner said at the Gladney's House specifically to you, or generally in the message, to what you get through Scripture, put value and weight in a whole experience, because God wants to speak something, and in His speaking, He gives all the opportunity for it to grow up, for it to produce. One, if you can just see a corn seed, that one piece of corn will die and go into the ground, be buried, and it will sprout up, and you'll have a stalk, but you'll have a bunch of corn cobs on it, and you'll have a bunch of corn, and you'll have hundreds and hundreds of kernels of corn again. And God spoke that into that little seed, and every word that He speaks to us has the potential to change what's inside of us. So I want us to get that word. So when we see that it's come and go in the fullness of what this word is, I want us to get what the fullness of this word is. Think about that. Some time ago, God said, let there be light. And we think in our mind, we say, let there be light. That we think, oh, He made light like night and day, and so the sun, the moon, and the stars. But very rarely do we think when we turn on our stove, He made light. Very, very, we never think when we turn on our lights on our car, they come on automatically. He made light. Let there be light. When He spoke, let there be light back then, He provided light of all different kinds, of every kind of light we ever could. Isn't that amazing? To me, that's just mind-blowing. When He speaks something, it's the fullness of forever, and He gives all the potential for that to happen and for that to be. So when He says, let there be light, and there's a light on your phone, He spoke that into being. And so when He says, come, He speaks that into being. And He speaks not just the invitation, but He speaks the permission, He gives the access, He makes the way, and He removes all barriers for you to come. And even at the same time as we learned last week, as you're entering in, He's coming in. It's the fullness of this word that we talk about. All right, so here's the definition for this word. And I like it so much because it's the image of a river coming. Because the river is coming and going. It's just natural for what it does. It's the image of the wind coming and going. Just natural for what it does. And that's how we're supposed to come unto the Lord. Just our natural position, our natural state of mind and spirit and emotions is come and enter in. And the enemy does everything to put up barriers against us. Not only barriers of we don't like church this way, or we don't like when the pastor does this, or we don't like this kind of message, or we don't like this kind of worship, but the barriers of our mind and our emotions and our past experiences, the barrier of even our doctrine and our theology, the barrier even of a single verse that we've taken, and years ago it was our verse, but now it stands in the way of getting into full relationship with the Lord. We talked a little bit about that week. But I want to also talk before we go on is that this invitation, when Jesus says, come, notice He doesn't say, and this is God speaking, but even in the New Testament, He never says, come to a church service. Come, enter in and be part of my culture. Come in and partake of my theology. He never says, come in and like my kind of music. He never says, come in and like my favorite authors and my favorite politicians and my favorite government style and my favorite this and be part of that thing. He never does that. He says, come and what? Come unto me. Come unto me. So when we see, or if we desire to see anything truly happen in our lives, we need to come unto Him. If we truly want to see, I'm trying to decide when I should break here because that's going to get really loud and I won't be able to speak. So I don't think that's it. I could. I totally forget where I was. That's where you were. You just shared too much. David said we come to church and we don't confess our sins, but if you want to, that's fine. Maybe that's all it's going to do. Usually it comes and buzzes by really, really loud. It's actually about 15 minutes early. So there's this imagery of we think that I will help somebody and I will invite them into my way of thinking. I will invite them into my way of feeling about something. I will invite them into my way of living life. I will even invite them into what I think is morally and ethically and politically right and correct. And it's a crummy invitation. It's a trick. It's a trick. We don't find true life in that. They won't find true life in that. We invite people into relationship with God Almighty, our Creator, the one who saves our soul, and the only one who can satisfy us. Okay? Anything that goes before that is an idol, is a god, is something that will lead us astray, and something that we will find ourselves, at the end of that something, we'll find ourselves dissatisfied. And it's weird to me, after being here at the Journey for 4 years, that that's a radical statement. That it's not politics. It's not our morals. It is relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. It is not trying to make our lives look right or look good. It's not going into the alignment shop, having a cup of coffee, getting your ticket stamped, and letting everybody know that I got my free alignment, and then going out and driving a wrecked road. It is coming in and being healed and aligned. And from the very depth of us. And I know politics can be important. Doctrine is important. Your kind of music and your culture of how you want church to be done is important. I'm not negating any of that, but it is like nothing. It's nothing compared to you coming in and entering with Him, okay? Accepting the invitation. And if we see that invitation as a one time, I did it, I've done it, I'm fine, then I'm going to suffer and be miserable and struggle till I die and get to heaven, that's a huge mistake, and that's not the life of abundance. That's not the Christ life. It's a life of progressively being deeper, more satisfied, and more healed in our soul, and the manifestation of Him in us outwardly from us. Okay? It's an invitation to enter into relationship with the Creator of the universe, the one who loves your soul. The one who loves your soul more than anybody else. The one who loves your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions more than you yourself do. The one who's good and better with your soul, with your stuff, with who you are, than anybody else ever will be, and better than you can be. So it's an invitation into that. It's an invitation not just into my spirit saved and my body will be fine and I have to suffer in my soul here. It's an invitation into the fullness of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the fullness of who He is, the fullness of that experience. So when you go through, not just here on Sundays, but when you go through and you read and you talk and you think and you're studying and you're looking at your devotional or reading your scripture or listening to anything in your meditative time, your quiet time, listen for what God is saying to you about you. All right? So when we get to this word in scripture, I'm going to read, if you'll turn to Isaiah 55. And I'm going to tell you. I can't even read up here. I don't know if I should. Here we go. Have you noticed that everybody that comes up here is having reading problems? You either have to. I don't even know where Isaiah is in this. I have a new Bible. There we go. Oh, shut up. There you go. So you guys have never heard a pastor say that to anybody from the pulpit. So. I'm just kidding. In love. Come all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you will not know, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. So this idea of eat is different than our idea of eat. When we think eat, if I say the word eat, most of us think to eat, to put food into our mouth. And it's like when we talked about thirst. We talked about thirst is to have an inquenchable desire, something that you have to fulfill yourself. You have to drink. There's an intense need to drink. And Jesus said that blessed are those who hunger and thirst. He's not for those who are hunger and thirst have a little bit. It's for those who really want a desire to consume him. And this word eat means to eat, of course. It means to eat, but just like come means to come and to go and to do both things, the fullness of that. That come means if I'm going to come, then I also have a place I have to leave and go. It's the fullness of that word. Well, eat is also to eat. It is to eat, but it's also to feed someone. Okay, but it's also to consume and devour. I mean, to just shove it in your mouth. There's a fullness in this word, in this, and it's not just eat. It's not just eat. It's think about the Psalms. He prepares a banqueting table in the middle of your enemies. This word eat is that whole picture. It's not just eat. It's not just go. I have to go buy myself something, prepare myself something. It's to eat and consume a banqueting table of what the Lord has provided for me. So the invitation is to come, and we think it's to come and nibble. Come and nibble on some communion, to come and nibble on some revival type experiences, to come and nibble. Oh, I just hope I have my favorite music or my favorite song. It's to come and eat in the middle of your very worst time and your very worst places, and to have a banqueting table set before you and to eat that and partake of that. How many want to eat that?
Yeah.
And that's what the invitation is into. But think about that. Eating encompasses a whole bunch more. It encompasses preparation, which he does. It encompasses table setting, which he does. But the sight and the scent and the smell and the pleasure of eating, we miss out when we just read this and we just see come and eat, come and partake, come and drink. There's a fullness of everything that we experience with the rib sauce on our hand and the smell of smoky barbecue in the air and whatever you're going to eat where you keep getting the barbecue sauce from your wings on your mouth. It's that good. It's that full. It's that vibrant when we eat with the Lord. And when we eat what he's prepared for us, we're so used to eating what others have prepared for us. We're so used to eating it or figuring out and us preparing something. There's a banqueting table that's prepared in the very worst of our times that he wants to have us be quiet and sit down and partake of him in his life. And so that's the invitation. So if you're inviting anybody to anything other than that, to come and eat and to drink and to partake and be with our Lord and Savior, it's a bad invitation. And there's something happens with us that becomes the only invitation we have to offer, because we lack vibrancy in our own lives that nobody gets to smell or to sense or to see the awesome stuff, the awesome banqueting table that we're eating, sitting down at. And so when we're at work, when we're at home, when we're around people, there should be a sense of God is doing something in this person's life. And if they can't put the word God to it, then it's at least something is different about you, how you are, how you operate, how you talk to people, how you go through tragedy is different. There's something different about you. How you love your kids, how you love your wife, how you love your job, how you love where you are in life. That's the scent. So instead of inviting into that, think about that. Paul invites people into his life when he says, follow me, even as I follow Christ. Follow me, even as I follow Christ. But I think there's something happened. We're either embarrassed, we're either so out of alignment, but we're still going to the alignment store and having that cup of coffee and reading a magazine and chatting with people. And we know people there. We know all about alignment, but we're coming out unaligned, but we're embarrassed to invite because we have some wrong definitions of what it means to invite, what it means to say, follow me. We think that follow me, even as I follow Christ, means follow me everywhere, that I'm perfect and have to be really, really good for anybody to follow me. You guys follow me and listen to me. You guys take my counsel. Some of you for years with your family, some with your finances, some with different things. And at the very least, you listen to me on Sundays, and you should know by now that I'm not close to perfect at all. I hope. And because some of you have counseled me and prayed over me and helped me with my finances and helped me with my family. So it's not a I'm perfect or you're perfect or you need to be perfect. It's follow me even as I follow Christ, because, man, I'm getting full. I'm drinking and I'm eating and it's awesome. Okay? That's the invitation into this banqueting table. But you know what? It goes beyond that. In this picture of eating in Scripture, it kind of connotates room and board. It kind of connotates when you come in, it's not just like you can eat, then you have to leave like you do at a restaurant or you do a friend's house. It's like come in and eat and sleep and be there, and you've got a key into the house and you can go into the refrigerator. That's all ready for you. Just come on in. So there's this huge picture of invitation that we have. And I'm one who's got it wrong for a long time. I'm one who's got it wrong. A lot of it's been an invitation. Find the right church to invite the right people to that could do the right thing for people I invite into the church. That's like totally wrong. There's not a right church. There's not a right way to do church. There's so many doctrines out there, and almost all of them are very much the same with little tiny bit of differences. It's mostly how we act it out, how we live it out, or how we do it in church. It's an invitation into Him. And the cool thing is, unlike a restaurant, there we go. It says in the Scripture, no money and no cost. And do you think, and when you first read that, you can look at that and say, when you look in your Scripture there, is the Lord just saying there's no money and no cost and it's the same thing? Because it says without money and without cost. This without money and without cost means two different things. Is it without money means no silver, no actual money. There's no actual money involved in the coming and eating of these things that will satisfy your soul. There's no actual price tag on it. But then this without cost is there's also like there's no cost. There's no cost. There's no payment plan. There's no servanthood down the road. There's no serfdom. There's no selling yourself into slavery for a period of time in order to repay. There's no cost to you. Okay? He's saying coming in and eat without money, without cost. And that's a huge barrier for us, especially in America, because we want to pay our way. No, let me get that. No, let me work for that. And so when we see this picture, we have it that it's a gift. It's not earned. It's not to be put on any credit we owe. There's no batteries necessary, power source and included, everything when you come in. It's free. It's gratis. It's without obligation. Now, we'll talk next week about some of the things that the Lord says to do, like listen and obey. All right. But in this context, repairs are included, lifetime warranty for when He says come and eat. It's not like come and eat. And if you mess up, get out of my table. It's come in a consistent invitation. And we have in Matthew 7, which I'm not going to get to. But I'll read it. So you want to mark down Matthew 7:37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And then John 4:10 is the woman at the well. And she comes and there's so many barriers that she herself puts up. And Jesus does what? He goes around everyone. There's a cultural barrier. There's a religious barrier. There's an ethnic barrier. There's a moral barrier. There's every barrier that anybody's throwing in your way. He just passes them by and he moves on forward because he knows that all of those things are simply barriers, simply diversions, and where he wants her to just come in and to receive the living water. I heard T.D. Jakes when he was at Lakewood, I guess last year, he says that little did she know that she was talking to a well sitting on a well. So she was talking to water sitting on water. And if we only come for the water that he's sitting on, if we only come for what we're attracted to about him, we'll miss the very one that we can get. I'm going to have to see here where I can. My remote is not working. Here's an example of no money. I mean, no cost. There we go. Whoops. We don't want to pass that one up. Think about that. No silver, no cost. I'm the one who went to Toys R Us 3 weeks before Christmas, stood in line. First of all, had to park way outside the parking lot, stood in line to buy it, stood in line to find out they had it, stood outside with my car hood, my backup, and so they could load it. Stood in line again when they didn't actually have it and I had to get my money back. Went home, got online, waited through Toys R Us webpage, bought it online, had to go stand in line to pay for it again, and then stand in line again. Almost gave up. Did Victoria, any cost to Victoria? Any effort, any thought? Just a gift. Then I had to take it home, and I had to put, I thought, this is a huge box. I had to actually put the axle on, the wheels on, the hubcaps on. I had to put like 30-something decals on it, like the little headlights, the little blinker lights. They're all decals. The little Barbie sticker. I had to do all of that. And then I got it inside Christmas morning, and I reconfigured the box in another box, and I put it in. I made a box, wrapped it up, and all she had to do was open it. That's all she had to do. The battery was charged. Everything was together. She's not done anything with it except for write it. Everything's guaranteed. Everything's free of charge. That's what the Lord does for us. He juices us up. He juices us up with a nice pink Barbie mobile. All right? Or G.I. Joe. But think about that. It's we have that. We're his children. We have that. He wants to give that to us. Now there is some work when it begins, isn't there? She has to have, we make her wear shoes. We make her wear a sweater or a sweatshirt when it's cold. She has to follow. There's some rules and obligations, but she's enjoying that, as you can see, obviously. I'm actually going to stop there. I have a little bit more to go. But there's an invitation. There's an invitation for us. Last week I spoke about an invitation. I'm just going to talk a little bit more about that as I close. Is the invitation is the fullness. It's the fullness and life and our soul literally being satisfied. I'll use some scriptures in the next week or two on our soul being satisfied, on the work of our hand being blessed, on where we dig we'll find gold, on what we raise we'll find something there. And I want us to see that picture. It's an invitation into an everlasting covenant and enduring love. It's an invitation into family. It's an invitation into relationship with the Father. It's an invitation into those things. It's not an invitation into right belief, although that comes. It's not an invitation into a style of church, although that comes. It's not an invitation into the kind of music you like, although that comes. It's an invitation into relationship. It's an invitation to relationship. A vibrant, life-giving, healthy relationship. That's the invitation we accepted. And in Galatians, Paul says, it's not how we become so easily bewitched, so easily confused and tricked that we would think then that now we have to do something to keep our Barbie four-wheeler. There's something in it that he provides all of that. So just bow your heads and close your eyes. Isaiah 33:16 says, "This is the man who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain, who will be the mountain fortress. His bread will be supplied, and water will not fail him." It's an amazing, we have amazing pictures from the Lord in the Old Testament of both the provision of bread for our bodies and the provision of the bread of life for our for the rest of it, for everything else, for the depth of our soul and for our spirit. So I want us to see that. I want us to see that as we come into this year, that there's a fullness in who He is. It's a blessing in our jobs. It's a freedom and happiness and joy in our marriage. Not because we're working really hard, but because we're releasing our life to Him. We're giving over to Him, and we're receiving and eating what He has for us. And what He has for us makes us vibrant, makes us whole, makes us full. And it translates into how we parent, whether it's little kids or adult children. It changes the way we respond in our emotions and in our thoughts. It changes the way we think. Instead of working on changing how to think or how to feel, we embrace Him and we eat what He has provided, made specially, individually for me, individually for you. He knows exactly what your body needs. And He's provided a banqueting table in the midst of your worst times, in the midst of your own sin. He's provided a banqueting table. If you would come to eat, you would not just survive. You would not just grow and be strengthened. You would thrive and be full of joy and His peace and His joy.